So there I am, standing in this church service. I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit now for just 3 or 4 months, and suddenly I'm in a Pentecostal charismatic conference that I have never experienced anything like this before. People are falling down, shaking, screaming, crying out. Demons are getting cast out. Healing is taking place. I'm kind of terrified. The pastor comes over. He puts his hand on my shoulder, blows on my face, and says, "Holy Spirit, come." And I hit the floor. From that day on, everything changed. Well, hello, and welcome to the Christian Life Podcast. I'm Scott Ingram, your host, and this is episode number 4, Impartation. As we get started, we need to ask the question, what is impartation? Because as I've been around different streams of Christianity, I'm actually surprised at how controversial the idea of impartation is in some circles of Christianity. I do, however, believe impartation is a principle that is found over and over in Scripture, and so we do need to look at it to find out for ourselves. My spiritual father back in the U.S., named Dr. Randy Clark of the Network of Global Awakening, says that impartation is the transference of anointing. I think that's the best definition that I've ever heard for what impartation is. It's when God uses me to lay hands on you, and the anointing that is on my life transfers from me to you. Now, biblically, there are different things that could happen when this impartation takes place. There are probably many more than what I'm going to share here, but I think two things are critical when we talk about what impartation is biblically. The first thing that can happen in an impartation is something we talked about in episode number 3 on the Holy Spirit. Impartation can be involved whenever a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. I told you in that same episode that I believe that there are many fillings with the Holy Spirit, not just one. And so for me, my first baptism in the Holy Spirit, my first time being filled with the Holy Spirit happened sovereignly, where God just showed up and filled me. I was alone praying in the bathroom, sitting on the side of the bathtub, trying not to wake up my roommates when the Holy Spirit filled me. But later, I was refilled, or I was topped up, or whatever you want to call it. I got more of the Holy Spirit through impartation. I'll share those stories with you in just a minute, but I want you to see that impartation, the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, is biblical. One of the scriptures we talked about in the last episode was in Acts chapter 19. In verse number 2, the Apostle Paul met this group of believers and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And so then in verse 6, after he's preached the gospel, he's baptized them. Verse 6 says, "And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying." And so through Paul's laying on of hands, they received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. This was actually the same thing that happened to the Apostle Paul. If we go back and look at Acts 9:17, the Bible tells us that Ananias, who was called by God to go pray for Paul, it says he departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on Paul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And so when Paul got baptized with the Holy Spirit, it was through the laying on of hands of Ananias. Later, Paul lays hands on these other believers, and they receive the Holy Spirit. This is the idea of transference of anointing. It's the anointing of God going from one Christian to another, from one generation of believer to the next. And one of the most vital things that can be done in an impartation is that you receive the Holy Spirit. You get filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. Outside of baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the other things that you can receive in an impartation is new spiritual gifts that you have never walked in before. Some of the scriptures that show us this, Paul writes to Timothy twice. First, in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul tells Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." So Paul reminds Timothy that the elders, the prophets, they laid hands on him and prayed, and as they were laying hands on him, a prophecy came that Timothy was receiving a new gift. And so Paul is telling him, don't neglect that gift that came through laying on of hands and prophecy. Then again in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, Paul says that again to Timothy, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And so this seems to be talking about a different point in Timothy's life. Timothy received spiritual gifts through the laying on of the elders' hands, and then he received another gift through the laying on of Paul's hands. This is two different impartations, both releasing new gifts into this young pastor. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 1, verse 11. He says, "I long to see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." And so when we talk about what is impartation, it's this idea that through the laying on of hands, through the physical touch, there is some level of anointing, something of the Holy Spirit that transfers from one person to the next. Now, again, all of this is led by the sovereignty of God. I can't lay hands on you and choose what gift to give you. The Holy Spirit is the one that decides what gift you receive. However, it is necessary for this to be one of the ministries of the church. It is biblical to be laying hands on people for the gift of impartation. Before we move on and try to answer some of the practical questions about impartation, I do want to share my personal experience because, as I talked about in the last episode, I was raised in a Christian tradition that did not believe in spiritual gifts. They did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit for empowerment through gifts. They didn't believe in a lot of these things. And so my spiritual journey, again, as I shared in that podcast, took time for me to come to the place of sitting on the side of that bathtub and asking the Holy Spirit to fill me, which He did. But what I found very quickly was that there was still more that I needed from God to fulfill the calling He had on my life. And so over time, at different seasons of my life, God has used impartation to release those things to me. I just want to share a couple of those times with you as an example of what impartation might look like. Again, this isn't a universal rule. But what's interesting is the first time I received an impartation, I had no idea what it was. I had no idea what to expect. Honestly, I had seen televangelists on TV who were praying for people. They would lay hands, people would fall down and roll around on the floor or just lay there completely still. And I had been told that's demonic, that's putting on a show, that's emotionalism, that's not God. And so I had already made up my mind, I'm not going to be that person. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I was not going to be one of these crazy people that do these things. It actually wasn't very long after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe just a few months, 3 or 4 months. And my friend Bobby, who I talked about in the last episode, he was walking through his apartment complex and he met a Nigerian man who was sitting there reading his Bible. And Bobby asked him, "Hey man, what are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading a Bible. I'm a pastor. I'm a missionary to America from Nigeria." And Bobby said, "Hey, that's awesome. You know, I'm in Bible college. We're studying to be pastors ourselves." And this man said, "Oh, great. My church is having a revival meeting in a couple of weeks. You need to come. You need to bring your friends to this revival. We're going to see the Holy Spirit move. We're going to see gifts release. We're going to see healing. We're going to see deliverance. We're going to see God do amazing things." And so you need to come. And so Bobby came, he told me, he said, hey man, I want to go to this thing. I got invited. And both of us were looking at each other like, this is crazy. We were filled with the Holy Spirit, but we had no grasp of what this looked like for healing and deliverance and all of these things. And so we went. We went to this pastor's revival where he also had another Nigerian man who is a missionary to Canada who had traveled down to Texas to be the guest evangelist for this revival service. And the first night I was seeing things I had never experienced before. My mind was blown away. I used to keep my eyes open when praying because I wore contacts, and if I kept my eyes closed too long, they would move around and irritate me. And so everybody had their head bowed praying, and I had my eyes open praying, and I watched this man take the microphone, and he said, Holy Spirit, the Bible says, when you come like a mighty rushing wind. And he blew into the microphone. And whenever he blew, the whole room just kind of nodded backwards, just kind of swayed backwards. And I looked around and was like, what happened? I tapped Bobby. I said, watch. And he did it again. This time he moved his hand from left to right. And I watched the room from left side to right side sway backwards in a wave as he passed his hand. And I'm looking around going, this is amazing. That first night I actually got healed for the first time that I can recall. I'll talk about that in a future episode when we talk about healing. But that first night of that revival meeting, we started seeing some things too that made us nervous, particularly when the evangelist and the pastor were laying hands on people and people were falling down to the floor and shaking or laying there still or these different things. And we just thought, no, we're not doing that. But we did go back the second night, and we took another friend who had not been filled with the Holy Spirit, who thought we were crazy, but he said he'll come with us. And at the end of the service, toward the end of the service, the pastor brought the evangelist over, and he said, I want you to pray over these Bible college students. And so the evangelist is standing in front of us, and he's praying, and he didn't lay hands on us. There was nothing crazy going on. So we're just standing there receiving his prayer. And I remember him praying, Father, would you increase their knowledge of the word beyond that of their professors? Would you increase their understanding of spiritual things beyond their teachers? Would you fill them with signs, wonders, and miracles beyond what our generation has seen? And he prayed this really awesome prayer over us. And so we're standing there, our hands are out, and we're just receiving this prayer, nothing major going on until from the side, while the evangelist is praying, the pastor put his hand on Bobby's shoulder and said, Holy Spirit, come, and blew on the side of Bobby's face. And Bobby immediately just sank down to the floor. I looked down, my other friend on the other side of me, we looked down, we see Bobby laying there, and we were just like, are you kidding me? We said, we're not playing these games. We're not doing these things. What is going on? Before we had time to respond, the pastor steps over to me. He puts his hand on my shoulder and he says, Holy Spirit, come. And he blew on my face. And the next thing I know, I am laying on the floor. All I knew is I'm not supposed to be on the floor. I didn't understand what happened. I didn't understand why I was there. But I knew this is wrong. This is not where I wanted to be. And so my first reaction is try to get up. My first reaction was, you get up, get off the floor. This is crazy. But I couldn't. I was stuck to the floor. As much as I was fighting, I was there and I was staying there. I looked over to my right. Bobby's still laying on the floor. I look over to my left and my friend who thought this was all crazy, he's laying on the floor beside me. He told us later that when Bobby hit the floor, he was shaking his head. When I hit the floor, he said an expletive word in his head and he took a step toward the door going to walk out. But the pastor put his hand on his shoulder and his knees buckled. And I'm telling you, the end of the night, if I remember correctly, I know all the people had left. I think they were stacking chairs. I think they were sweeping up. Us three Bible college students were still laying on the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not the part of the story that matters, though, because impartation leads to something. Yes, I enjoyed laying there in God's presence. It was a powerful time just soaking in the goodness of God. But what happened was, up to that point, I had really been struggling in Bible college to learn the Bible, to learn the truths of Scripture. I was really struggling to keep up. I went into Bible college. I was next to last in my incoming class on our intake test on Bible knowledge. What happened is, following this impartation prayer, the Word of God started coming alive to me. I started understanding truths in Scripture so easily that before had boggled my mind. And so that evangelist prayer came true. They were praying that we Bible college students would have a better understanding of Scripture and that we would understand the mysteries of the gospel, and it happened. To this day, I believe that the credit I get for being such a good Bible teacher and knowing the Bible so well, it comes from that impartation. It was not my natural gift. It was not my natural ability. God had to work that in me. Later, another impartation that really changed my ministry. Again, I only want to share two for time's sake. I could share other stories, but I want to share the two probably that had the biggest impact on me. The second impartation, and it was the second, there wasn't another between, but the second impartation I received, I had been living in Haiti in 2012. I had learned to hear God's voice. I'll talk about that in another episode. I was sitting there listening to God, but the other thing that was happening is every Sunday I was in church praying for the sick, and nobody was getting healed. I mean, I was praying for headaches, little things, you know, I was praying for cancer and diabetes, big things. It didn't matter. Nobody was getting healed. And this went on for months. I moved to Haiti in March, and I'm praying probably about September. I'm praying, God, like, I want to learn to pray for the sick effectively. Please teach me. And I found this book by Dr. Randy Clark and Bill Johnson called The Essential Guide to Healing or The Complete Guide to Healing, something like that. And so I read that book. It was the first, Dr. Randy Clark has become a spiritual father to me, but this was the first time I had heard his name. It's the first time I had read anything by him. And I read that book and thought, I need this. And in that book, he talked not only about how to pray for the sick and a model for praying for the sick, but he talked about impartation. And I just thought, Lord, I probably need an impartation because I'm praying, even following the model prayer. I'm trying all these things. Nobody's getting healed. And I heard the Holy Spirit very clearly say that Dr. Randy has a conference coming up in just a couple of months, and that if I would go to that conference, he would lay hands on me and I would receive an impartation for healing. I got excited. I'm living in Haiti, and I thought, he's coming to Haiti? I jumped on his website. I'm looking. Nope, he's not coming to Haiti anytime in the near future. So I'm going, okay, God, but so when? And I started looking at my schedule. I was scheduled to fly out of Haiti and to East Africa, to Southern Sudan, the beginning of November. And so I started looking. Well, Randy's biggest conference of the year, called Voice of the Apostles, was a week and a half before I was supposed to fly to South Sudan. So I called my boss. I said, hey, I'm flying to Pennsylvania to go to this conference, and then I'm flying home to Texas for just a few days, and then I'll meet you guys in South Sudan. And they said, okay, that's fine. I went to this conference. Again, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I believed in the Holy Spirit. I was trying to walk out some of these things. But I had never been to this kind of a crazy charismatic conference since I saw those Nigerian pastors. I have some friends that will listen to this podcast who met me at that conference. They can comment and testify that what I'm telling you is true because they saw this scared Baptist boy walking into the conference trying to figure out what is going on. There was a lot of things that happened that week that marked my life, but the biggest one came on, I believe it was the Thursday of that conference, just after lunch. It was the afternoon session, I believe. Randy said, we're going to do our impartation session now. And he said, he went through his prayer. He always does it the same way. I'm thinking through what I'm saying because I don't want to take too long building this, but he basically preached on impartation, told what it was, and then he said, some of you are going to receive an impartation. He said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you about 60 seconds. You tell the Lord what it is you came for, what it is you need, and then I'm going to pray and ask him to pour out his Spirit and to move. And some of you are going to start to shake. You're going to start to feel cold. You might start to feel warm. You might start to feel electricity pulsing through your body. These are ways I know what the Holy Spirit is doing. He said Jesus could only do what he saw the Father doing. He said these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit that show us that the Father is doing something. And so if you begin to feel something, you begin to shake, you begin to feel electricity, anything like that, I want you to put your hand up in the air. And then he said this, and this was devastating to me. He said, there are, I think it was 8,000 of you in the room. There are 8,000 of you in the room. I cannot come and pray for everybody. But I have a team who has traveled with me around the world, and as you put your hand up, they're going to walk around the room and pray for you right where you are. Randy said, take your minute to pray. I started telling God, Lord, you told me I would get a healing impartation while I was here. You told me Randy would pray for me, but if it's not Randy, if it's one of his team members, I will take everything you have for me. And so I started praying. As soon as Randy prayed his prayer, my hand started shaking. My right hand started just shaking and twitching. And I'm a little shocked by this, but you know, I had expected something. And so I start putting my hand up in the air. Randy left the stage. He released the team to go pray for those that put their hand up. And he left the stage. And then he came running back over to the microphone. He said, oh, I forgot to say this. If you are a full-time missionary or evangelist, I want you to come on stage because I want to pray for you myself. I took off running through the crowd. I was the second person to get to the stage. Randy walked by. He just sent my hands were out in front of me. And he just simply, I think it was his middle finger, he just touched the center of my hand with his middle finger. And he said, Holy Spirit, I bless what you're doing in Anthony. I had my name tag on. I bless what you're doing. Fill him up, Lord, or something to the, I honestly don't remember exactly what he said. But whatever he said, I immediately fell to the ground, laid there, and I was laying on stage for probably the next 2 hours. I know I missed the dinner break and until a guy by the name of Will Hart came, and he started saying, guys, I know I've been there, but if you're able to move, we need to clear the stage because the band needs to sound check for the evening session. And so if you can move, we need to get you up and move you off the stage. If you can't move, we're going to get some people to help you, to help carry you down to the floor. And so I got up. I stumbled out off the stage, stumbled off the platform, and made it back to my chair. I think I just sat in my chair through the sound check. But it was crazy because it was the same exact experience. But what was different was the fruit that came out of that. I got up off of that floor, went through the rest of the conference, came home for the few days, and then I flew to South Sudan. The first person I prayed for after the impartation with Randy was a blind man in southern Sudan who his eyes were completely white, gray, there was no color in his eyes, sitting under a tree with our team in southern Sudan. And as I prayed, another pastor came, he started praying with me, and then the team started gathering around. But as we prayed for about 15 or 20 minutes over this man, we watched the color come back to his eyes. We watched his gray eyes start to turn brown. He started testifying that when we first started praying for him, all he could see was the difference between light and darkness. He started telling us, though, now I'm seeing the brown on the ground. I'm seeing the green on the tree. As we kept praying, he started saying, that one's a white woman. That one's a black man. He started telling us details. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. We had to go, but he was seeing fairly clearly while I was there. But that night, one of the local pastors we were working with named Simon Peter came running to where we were staying. He said, I've got to tell you, the blind man that you prayed for, he's walking around completely healed. He can see everything. The whole village is talking about this healing. This is a miracle God has done. It was the very first person I had ever seen healed. What's even cooler about that is the next morning, we sent Simon Peter and another man to a nearby village that had never heard the gospel to get the chief's permission to come and share with them. And by the next morning, about 5 a.m., when they reached the chief's house, the chief told them, I've never allowed missionaries to come to our place. I've never accepted them. But we heard about the blind man, and yes, we want those people there. And so we went. I had the privilege of standing up and preaching the gospel to about 40 people who had never heard the name of Jesus, and all 40 of them got saved. Then I shared the testimony of the blind man. I said, we want to pray for you too. And again, I didn't know what I was doing, but there was this new impartation that had happened, and I started seeing old warriors getting healed of knee problems. I saw back pain leaving, saw all kinds of things God was doing, and the healing has only increased since then. We see healing now every time I preach a church service, every time I do a crusade. We're seeing healings taking place not just through me, but as I have done the same thing Randy did and prayed the impartation prayer over our team, our pastors and leaders in our ministry are also seeing healing take place all the time. It's amazing. Last year, just in a three-week outreach, we had another minister, one of our friends, Kimberly Myers of Equip Nations. You should look her up. We had her come for our big annual crusade for 3 weeks, and she helped train the crowd, and then I got to do the big healing session at the crusade. And over the course of 3 weeks, through the team on door-to-door and at the crusade, there were over 600 healings just happening, not even through us, but through the other people that we were laying hands on and praying impartation over. And so when Randy prayed for me, it was another impartation that absolutely changed my life, and there has been no going back. I'm telling you, impartation is real, and impartation makes a drastic difference in the life of a minister. Okay, welcome back. What I want to do with the rest of this podcast is I want to talk about a few of the practicalities of impartation. Hopefully what I've said so far has convinced you impartation is biblical. Even my own testimonies, hopefully it's shown you that there is some validity to this. I'm not a crazy person. I told you I was raised Baptist. I didn't believe this stuff. I wasn't deceived into this stuff. The fruit of my life, my understanding of the Word, the number of people getting healed in the name of Jesus, all of these things, there are other impartations I could share if time would allow. All of these things have happened because of impartation. My testimony shows the validity of what Scripture attests to. And so on that foundation, I just want to look at some of the practicalities for those of you who may be saying, okay, maybe this is real, maybe I want this, but I have questions. So the first question I want to answer is, why does impartation require the laying on of hands? By that, what I mean is, why is it person to person and not just the Holy Spirit giving gifts as He wants, right? Like, if God wants to give you a gift of healing, why doesn't He just give you the gift? Why does He use somebody else to lay hands on you? To be honest, I'm not exactly sure the answer of why, but I can tell you it is biblical. I mean, the Bible calls the laying on of hands one of the foundational doctrines of Christianity. When the author of Hebrews is writing, trying to encourage the Hebrew believers that they need to grow in maturity, and he's telling them, like, I wanted to give you the meat, but you still need milk, and he's going through this. In Hebrews 6, 1 to 2, he tells us what the foundational doctrines of Christianity are, and he says, therefore, let us leave or go beyond the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about baptisms and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, like, when we talk about foundational doctrines, most of us would say, yeah, the doctrine of Christ and repentance and faith and baptism and resurrection and eternal judgment, yeah. But in the middle of that is the laying on of hands. The writer of Hebrews says laying on of hands is a foundational doctrine for the church, for Christians. And so God has put this authority into His church. And there's something holy about Him using people to impart spiritual gifts to other people, to impart spiritual realities to other believers. So I don't know why, but I know that it's awesome. As I've told you, my ministry has been touched by impartation, and I personally have seen so much growth, so much fruit every time another impartation comes. I've also been privileged to be used in impartation many times. Every year at our annual pastors' conference, my favorite thing that we do is an impartation session on the final night where we lay hands on our pastors and leaders and watch God do something new in their lives. We do it every time we do an equipping conference and a training conference. We did one in January in refugee camps in northern Uganda for southern Sudanese pastors living there. We do impartation, and I have so many stories, so many testimonies from other pastors and leaders who share with me how their life has been changed through the impartation they received when I prayed. And so my ministry is a fruit of impartation, and I have had the privilege of being the one to lay hands on others and see an impartation come to them as well. I don't know why God wants the anointing to go person to person, but it is one of the foundational doctrines of the church, and it is amazing. Another question that often gets asked about impartation in general and, you know, in other cases as well, is this idea of falling down or being slain in the spirit. I told you I had seen these evangelists on TV, guys like Benny Hinn laying hands on people and them falling down. I was told it's the devil. I was told it's not God. I was told it's emotionalism. I was told all of these things. I was trained not to believe in the falling down. However, as I have studied the Bible and I've studied Christian history, I quickly had to change my mind that this is biblical and that there is something to this. When we talk about the history of Christianity, it's not just the crazy Pentecostals and charismatics that believe in this. Early on in Methodism with John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards, they were having these big revival meetings and these big open-air, you know, we might call them crusades or tent meetings today, and people were falling down under the power of the Holy Spirit. Early Baptists in the 1800s and 1900s in America saw people falling down in church under the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't call it being slain in the Spirit or fainting in the Spirit. They called it swooning. And so if you read some old Baptist doctrines, some old Baptist histories and some old Baptist missionary letters, they talk about people swooning and falling. And so we can see it throughout Christian history. We can also see it in Scripture. I can point to you over and over in Scripture when it happened. You look at places like 1 Kings 8. Verses 10 and 11, it says that the priests came out of the holy place. A cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. It repeats in 2 Chronicles 5:14, the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. As simply as I can explain it, what falling down or fainting or swooning or being slain in the spirit, whatever you want to call it, as simply as I can explain it, it's when the Holy Spirit's presence comes on you and you get weak and you fall down. Some people can't move. Some people feel stuck to the floor like I did in the Nigerian church. I laid on the floor for a couple of hours when Dr. Randy prayed for me. When he talks about it, he actually says that there's this weight that just settles on you and it feels like a heavy dentist apron that they put on you when they're doing the x-rays of your mouth, the x-ray protection apron, that weight that sits on you. You just feel this weight and you feel weak and you can't stand. It's recorded other places in Scripture. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, he writes, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide." So there's a presence with this vision that Daniel's having that even the people around, they start trembling, they start feeling something, and they run away and hide. Daniel says, "So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Daniel, I believe, was slain in the Holy Spirit. The strength left his body. When God spoke, he fell on his face. And he says he went into a deep sleep. He probably went into a trance, into some kind of spiritual sleep, not physical sleep, but obviously we don't know. That's speculation. The same thing happens to John in Revelation. In Revelation 1, 17 and 18, John says, "When I saw him, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, for I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and hell.'" John says, "When I saw Jesus, I fell down at his feet as though I was dead," meaning he lost control of his body. It wasn't, "I fell down in worship." He says, "I fell down like I was dead, like everything left me. I fell down. I had no control of my body," but his senses are still there. He's still aware of what's going on, because then Jesus speaks to him. This was the case with me. I told you, the first time I fell, I wanted to get up. I couldn't. I was still aware of everything going on around me. In those moments, I've learned that when the Holy Spirit comes and I'm on the ground, I need to pay attention to him and not the area around me, not what's going on around me, because he wants to speak and do something. But I believe John was slain in the Holy Spirit. One more that this is my favorite example in Scripture is when Jesus is in the garden and they come to arrest him in John 18, verses 4 to 6. Jesus, knowing everything that would happen to him, came forward and said to the arresting people, the arresting officers, the crowd, "Whom do you seek?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. But watch this. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. When Jesus says, "I am," it's the reference to the name of God. I am Yahweh. I am who I am. They say, "We're looking for Jesus." He says, "I'm the one." And when he says it, the overwhelming power of his presence and the Holy Spirit on him throws them back to the ground. They fall down. And so here's what I would say about being slain in the Spirit. Is it necessary for impartation? Absolutely not. I've received impartations where there was fruit, but there was no manifestation. I didn't fall down. I didn't shake. I didn't feel electricity. I didn't get hot or cold. I didn't have any of those manifestations. I've had other impartations where it absolutely did happen. I've prayed for people and seen people prayed for who both fell and didn't fall, and the fruit can be the same. And so you don't have to fall down to receive an impartation. But here's what I would say. If you do fall down when you receive an impartation, or when the Holy Spirit's on you so powerfully, if you do fall down, you shouldn't fight it, and you shouldn't be embarrassed by it, because it is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, of his presence coming on you in an overwhelming, overpowering way. And so don't be embarrassed by that. It's a good thing. So if it happens, allow it to happen. Don't try to manufacture it yourself. Don't fall down just because somebody's praying for you. That's dumb. You can't manufacture an impartation just because you willingly fall down. So don't try to fall down, but if you do start to fall down, don't try to stand up. When I pray for people, I have the lightest touch on their head because I don't want to be accused of pushing them. I think it's ridiculous when I see ministers pushing and moving their head around, trying to get them to fall. They don't have to fall to get an impartation. I don't want to be accused of trying to put on a show when God's not moving. And so I have the lightest touch on their head, and as soon as they start to fall, I'll pull my hand away. So again, you don't have to fall down to have an impartation, but if it comes, just receive everything God wants to give you. You don't have to run away. You don't have to be scared. It's a good thing. The last thing I want to address in this episode, because I know I'm going extremely long, you'll bear with me, but the last question I want to address is what many of you are asking right now, and that is this: how do I receive an impartation? because I know some of you are listening to what I'm saying. You're listening to these scriptures I'm giving, and you're saying, wow, this sounds biblical. This sounds like something I need. You're in the same place I was when I read Dr. Clark's book on healing that I thought, maybe I need an impartation. Some of you right now are asking the question, how do I get an impartation? So this is a difficult question to answer. And for sure, I can't tell you everything that's got to be in place in your life to receive. I'm sure there's spiritual dynamics, there's God's timing, there's all of these things. But I can give you two keys that I think are vitally important to aligning yourself in a place to receive an impartation when the time comes. The first thing that you need to have is a hunger for spiritual things, a hunger for the Holy Spirit, a hunger for spiritual gifts, a hunger for His reality, for His kingdom to come in power. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, Paul has been explaining about the spiritual gifts. He's been talking about what they are and how they work and why they work. And then as he gives an explanation of prophecy and the gift of tongues, the first thing he says in 1 Corinthians 14 is pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Paul lays it out there that our desire has an effect on the gifts that we receive. He says desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. If you're desiring prophecy, it means you're putting yourself in a place to receive the gift of prophecy. If you're desiring the gift of healing like I was, He blessed me by giving me an impartation of that gift. He led me to a place where I could get it. And so you've got to be hungry for that gift. This word desire in the Greek, it's translated in English translations, it's translated different ways. The Greek almost carries the connotation of to lust after, to burn with a desire, to have a burning desire, an unstoppable desire, a hunger, to want it so badly. You've got to have a desire for spiritual gifts and for spiritualities. If you're not hungry for these things, I've never met a single person who was passive in their Christianity, wasn't hungry for God to move, but received an impartation. God is looking for a person who is hungry for more. I told you in the last episode, the Bible says, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You've got to have a hunger to receive. And so maybe that's the place to start. Maybe you need to tell God exactly what you're wanting and why. For me, it was in the season where Randy prayed for me, it was hungry to see people healed. I was praying for them all the time. I was trying. I was going after it. I was learning. I was reading books. I was hungry for that gift. And so that led me into a place where when the opportunity for impartation came, I was ready. The second thing I would say that you need to have in place in your life is a spirit of honor of those people who have the gift you're desiring. The kingdom of God doesn't function in jealousy. And so if you're jealous of people who have the gift or you're slandering, you're talking bad. I mean, I used to talk bad about those televangelists. I thought they were crazy. But when I started getting hungry for the gift, I realized I'm wanting what these people have. And it changed from a jealousy and a bad-mouthing, a slandering, to honoring those people. Honestly, when I first heard of Randy Clark, it was years ago when the Toronto revival was happening, and all I heard was how that's the devil, that's not God. And I don't know, but I probably jumped on the bandwagon talking bad about those charismatics and up there in that fake revival and everything they were doing. That's the culture that I was in. But whenever I got hungry for this gift and I read his book, I started honoring his ministry. I started reading other books by him. I started listening to sermons online by him, anything I could find. I wanted to honor what God had done in his life. And that allowed a pathway that when Randy prayed for me, I received what he had. I think one relevant scripture is in Matthew 10, verse 41. It says that the one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will also receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. If you honor the gift that is at work in somebody's life, it says you receive the same reward that they do. If you honor a prophet because you're wanting to prophesy, you're going to get prophecy from them. You're going to get their reward. So there's the spiritual dynamic of you've got to be hungry, and you need to honor those in the body of Christ who have that gift so that it opens up an opportunity for impartation to come. Then thirdly, I would just say start praying. If you feel like you need an impartation, tell God, and He will speak to you and tell you when and where and how it can come. And so what I want to do right now is I just want to pray for you. I can't lay hands on you, but I can pray that even some of you listening right now that are very hungry for an impartation and you're listening to this and you're even honoring what I'm telling you that God's done in my life, I'll pray right now so maybe God will do something. But if not, look for opportunities to receive prayer from gifted leaders around you and in your community. So let me pray. Father God, right now, I lift up these people listening to you. Lord, they are hungry. They are wanting more of you. They are wanting to grow in gifts. They're wanting to grow in wisdom. They're wanting to grow in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, right now, I would pray supernaturally that through this microphone, through their headphones, Lord, that you would open up a spiritual pathway for impartation. And if there's anything in my life that I'm carrying that they need, would you pour it out on them right now? Father, I know there's somebody listening who's been praying for the gift of healing. Lord, I pray that you would impart that gift to them right now, that as they lay hands on people by faith and command sickness to leave, Lord, that the sickness would go. Would you impart that gift right now in Jesus' name? Father, I know there's somebody else listening who's been struggling with a lot of spiritual torments, a lot of spiritual strongholds, and Lord, they've been reading and studying about the deliverance gifting. Father, I pray right now that you would impart the gift of deliverance ministry into them, Father, that when they speak the name of Jesus, demons would go fleeing. Father, again, for anyone listening, as they're crying out to you, telling you what they need, Father, I pray if it's something that you've placed in my life, would you let it pass to them right now in Jesus' name? Father, I thank you for the gift of impartation. I thank you for how it's changed my life, and I pray for more opportunities for the body of Christ to understand this spiritual dynamic and see it come to pass in their lives and in their reality. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that will wrap up episode 4, Impartation. I want to tell you thank you for listening to this podcast. If you want to give me feedback on the show, you can leave me a voice message at anchor.fm/thechristianlife. If you really enjoy what you've heard and you want to support this podcast, you can do it there as well. Any support you give will help us keep this ministry going. You can connect with me directly at anthonyingram.com. If you've enjoyed the show and you want to hear more, please subscribe to this podcast on whichever platform you use for listening to podcasts. It would also be a great help to me if you would leave me a review there. That's how podcasts move up in the rankings and on these platforms. You can find a full list of the links where this show is available at anthonyingram.com/podcast. You can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Ingram Writer, WRITER. I would love to have you join me on either of those platforms. Once again, thank you for listening. I am Scott Ingram, and until next time, I just want to say God bless you.